can only imagine how difficult that was. Been working on that a while, and we're trusting the freedom from that will be as beautiful as the weight that he's been carrying. So, thank you, Mark, for the courage and faith to do that. Breathing new life into dry bones is God's specialty. There isn't anything that he can't handle, that the cross of Jesus can't overcome, that your history is too big for, your hurt, and even our foolishness. He loves us. His cross is well able to forgive and to heal and to rebuild. Today I want to talk a little bit about fathers and husbands. Last week I was pretty direct or firm. We talked about wives and this whole idea of submission. And that's always a heavy load. That's always a tender topic. And as I've thought about it, we're okay with laying that out there. I mean, it's what the Bible says. But I don't think that we always then flip that coin and go, well, husbands, here's your part. Here's what the Bible says about you. And so it's not near as dramatic, I don't think, when we do. And I think we end up feeling like the bulk of the weight has been put back onto the wife or the woman. And we say things like, well, the husband has to love his wife like Christ loves the church. And then we just kind of let it go at that. And it's just kind of this love, generic love, and the wife is oftentimes then left holding this submission bag, which to me feels a lot bigger and a lot heavier. So I felt like I needed to come back to our scripture and flesh it out for the husbands and the wives, that they'll be included still, but the husbands and the fathers. I need to talk to you this morning if we really are going to love our wives and our children and those in our church like Christ loved the church, then we need to flesh that one out as well. And so that's where we are at this morning in Colossians chapter 3. You don't have a Bible, the Pew Bible, it's just find page 1776 and turn to a Pew Bible chapter 3. And I want to look through a passage of Scripture here and begin to talk primarily to you husbands, to you men, but also to you women in a way as well. So let me pray. Lord, thank you for Mark's testimony. Thank you for Mark's marriage, for watching the two of them share that together. What a beautiful picture of a husband and wife together sharing something very difficult. Lord, marriage is not easy, and I pray you will help me share this truth that will encourage, that will speak to us, that will glorify Jesus, that will lift up families, children, and your church. So Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name for your guidance, your Spirit's leading. Speak to us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Colossians chapter 3, he begins to talk about putting on certain characteristics like compassionate hearts and kindness. He moves down and he says, above all, put on love. Love binds everything together in perfect harmony. That would be a great passage for marriages. Love binds everything with these hearts. And he gets to verse 16. And this is where I'm going to start. He says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So let me back up. Verse 16, this is a key to a solid home, a solid marriage, solid parenting, solid husband, solid wife, kids, the whole thing. This is a key. He says here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So let me just ask you, is the word of God, the word of Christ, living, dwelling in you richly? Are you a person of the word? If you're not, it's going to be very difficult for you to follow the map that God is laying out. You will follow a map, but it will be your own. But what we're talking about this morning is God's plan, desires, direction for families, for husbands and wives and children. And so he very appropriately says, let the word of Christ live in you, abide in you, not a little, richly, richly. Listen what we get to do. Ladies, you get to do this too. Teaching and encouraging or admonishing one another. That's what we're all to do here. We're all to talk and teach and encourage one another in all wisdom. Isn't that great when someone encourages you and teaches you and it just happens to be wise too? I love to get wise encouragement from people. I get a lot of lame encouragement from people. I get a lot of unknowledgeable, kind of silly encouragement. But I love it when someone comes to me, particularly in my family, and encourages me, and that was wise. That was really good. Thank you so much. That's from the person that the Word of Christ is dwelling in richly. You can do that. Men, women, children. The Word of Christ dwell in you richly so we can teach and encourage and help and share wisely. Wisely. Also, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So, joy. Wow, what joy. We're wise. We're a wise family, teaching, encouraging, and we're singing. So like we were singing this morning, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's joy in our family. With thankfulness, thankfulness in your heart to God. Verse 17, whatever you do, what does the word whatever mean? Whatever. Whatever you do. All everything. Okay, so everything. So whatever you do in word or in deed, speak it, do it. Do everything, everything. Go to church. I go to work. I go to the grocery store. You go to school. You go to the hospital. You go to the doctor. Everything, everything that you and I do, everything, everything, 24/7, 7 days a week, everything we do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So, I go to McDonald's, I say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll take a double quarter pounder with cheese. I go to the grocery store, I go to Myers, I buy that gallon of milk. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, ring me up. No, that's not really what we do. That's not really what this says, is it? No, what it means is, and this is key for us, everything we say or do, everything, 24/7, wherever you're at, everything you say, everything you do points to Jesus. Everything you do reflects Jesus. Everything we say and do is for Jesus. Everything we say and do represents Him, looks like Him, glorifies. Everything we say and do everywhere has to do with me being His ambassador here. I never want to say or do something, anything, anywhere that doesn't accurately portray and is for Jesus. Everything. Everything. There's no secular and religious. There's no secular life. And this is my public, my secular life, and this is my religious life. There's none of that. Because everything is right there. One eye on Him, whole time. Always. Always. Everything I say, everything I do. Now, what did Paul have in mind when he's writing this? Well, for instance, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Okay? So everything he says now, we should be able to point it back. This is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, wives, submit to your husbands. This is fitting. This is fitting in the Lord. And one eye on Jesus. This is what I'm going to do. This is fitting for Him. This is for Him. We're going to need a little help on this next one. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. So Ephesians chapter 5, we know this about husbands, love your wives. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. So same author, same parallel part here. So let's take that little phrase there and plug it in. This means that you love Christ like you love Him like Christ loved the church. So husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, and do not be harsh with them. Do not be harsh with them. So there it is, pointing to that. This is how I love my wife. And it's like in reflection of to and for Him, like He loved the church and gave Himself up for them, and I don't be harsh with her. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. There we are again. So everything we do or say, we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything reflects, everything is about Him and to Him and for Him. Children, now I love this right here. I love this right here. I'll tell you why. He's addressing children. He's addressing the children. The Bible? Where were children going to pick this up and read it or what? Children, obey your parent. He is speaking to the children, and he is speaking to the wives, and he is speaking to the husbands. Because this letter was going to come to that church on some day, on some morning, and they were going to gather the husbands and the wives and the children and read this letter, and Paul is addressing the children and the women. It wasn't just to the men. Hey, men, go home and tell your wives about this. No, 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 no. This is for us. This is for the children. Are you children listening out there? One eye on Jesus. Everything we do, men, women, and children. There. Children, obey your parents. This pleases him. This pleases him. I hope we're raising our children that way. I do. We're going to talk about that more in a minute. Children, obey your parents in everything. This pleases the Lord. Fathers, if you're a husband and a father, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Again, we'll get some help from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says this about fathers. Husbands, this means love your wives. Christ loved the church. He gave his life for her. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. You don't have it. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says this. Fathers, raise your children in the encouragement, in the nourishment and encouragement of the Lord. Teach your children. Nourish them. Encourage them. Let me turn back here. Ephesians chapter 5. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline, that's training and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the training and teaching of the Lord. Notice, men, notice, notice, notice. That did not say, wives, bring your children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It said, fathers, fathers, don't provoke them, don't push their buttons, but train them and teach them in the nourish and admonition of the Lord. Encourage them. Teach them. Don't provoke them. Fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the encouragement and admonition of the Lord, lest they become discouraged. So, nourish and admonition. Teach them. Encouragement. Training. Teaching. Fathers. He says, do not hand this off to the wife. The church stuff's all yours, babe. In the Lord. And one more thing, sitting in that congregation there at Colossae were bondservants and their masters. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, what? Fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive your inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. And there's no partiality. Man, everything, the bondservant there, he has to fear him and work heartily for the Lord and receive an inheritance, and you're really serving the Lord. And there sits his master, and then to his master he says, masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. One eye on heaven. Every one of you, men, women, children, bondservants, masters, everything you say and do, man, you better keep one eye up. It's all for him. It's all from him. Your inheritance is from him. This is to him. Everything. Every one of you, 24/7, keep your eye on Jesus. Everything you do. It's amazing. That's the premise, that's the crux of what he just said right here. Mark, you have whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord. Everything. That is the key. That is it. So wives, that's why and how you will submit. Husbands, that's why and how you will love. Because every moment of every day for the follower of Jesus Christ is serving Him, watching Him, following Him, glorifying Him. Whatever you do. So, that's the key. Some thoughts and ideas from that. Just leave that there, if you would, Mark. Just leave that there for a moment. Because that is the foundation behind our family. That is the foundation behind wives not ruling over your husbands, but working with them and for them, alongside of them. Preaching. Ezekiel, that's my baby. Everything we do is for Him. And so, point number one, for both and for all, what you do in your family, how you treat your husband, husbands, how you treat your wife, children, how you respect and honor and obey your parent, it is not contingent on the other one's behavior. You do not submit to your husband when he deserves it. You do not love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave herself for it when she deserves it. Children do not obey their parents when they are nice. What this means then is we do it because we're doing it to Him, and it has nothing to do with whether they deserve it, you agree with it, you like it or not. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And when we were dead in our sins and trespasses and still enemies, He died for us, and we love them sacrificially, whether they've been nice and we feel they deserve it or not. None of this teaching about family is deserved. It is all grace. It is all Christ. It is all His plan. It is all His way. It is all to honor Him. And He just did tell the bond servants, look, you obey your master. You do it heartily as to Him. You fear the Lord, not him. And there's no comparison to a bondservant and his master and a wife and her husband and a husband and a wife. This has nothing to do with whether she deserves it or doesn't. It has everything to do with my relationship with Jesus Christ. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, for the Lord, to the Lord, in honor of the Lord. Everything. There's a verse, 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, wives, be subject, and that means be in submission. It's the same word. So likewise, wives, be in submission to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct. A little bit of a combining there. This is Peter teaching the same thing Paul taught. And Paul taught in Titus that the older women should teach the younger wives how to be pure in their homes. And he ended the Ephesians chapter 5 part with, or we're after the husbands. Husbands, love your wives, and wives, be respectful to your husband. So Peter combined those two in this. But notice the teaching. Notice the teaching. Wives, be subject, be in submission, because your husband, maybe you have a husband who does not obey the word. Maybe he's a tyrant. Maybe he's a pain. He's not obedient to the word of God. But you just might win him by your conduct, by your pure and respectful conduct, by your submission. You might win him. My point is, this husband's not obedient to the word. And you might well say, he doesn't deserve my submission. And I'm telling you again, none of this has to do with the others deserving of it. All of this has to do with, this is how I serve the Lord. This is how I glorify Jesus. And I'm just gonna throw this out there for you. This is God's plan for marriage. And we don't have a corner on the marriage market, even in the church. Many of us divorced. So we need to get back to the plan. We need to relook at this plan. Point number one, it is not contingent on our spouses deserving of it. Point number two, husbands, do not be harsh with your wives. In whatever you say or do, do not be harsh with your wives. Ladies, did you hear me say that? If you have any sort of a believing husband, and I've laid this heavy on you, submit to your husband. I hope you're hearing me, because I'm telling your husbands, do not be harsh with them. That is not how Christ loves His church, His bride. He is not harsh with us. He tells us to come and pray to Him. And when we do, when we need wisdom, come and pray. And He will never upbraid us. He will never scold us for asking for wisdom. He will never scold us for coming to Him and going, I don't know if I can do that. He is not harsh. He will never mistreat His church. We are His bride. He will train us and work us and discipline us, but He will never be harsh and bitter, critical to His church. We are His. He paid the price for our salvation. Now He's going to train us and mold us and shape us. But He's never going to provoke us like He told fathers. He's never just going to be bitter and just fed up. That's not how He works. So husbands, I'm just going to tell you, don't be harsh with your wife. If you do, it's sin. It's sin. Ladies, you heard me say it. They're worried about being your doormat. They're worried about taking abuse and flack and just us throwing out whatever feels right for us, it feels good to us. And I'm telling you, don't be harsh with them. Do not be harsh with your wife, or it is sin and you need to get on your knees and repent. It is sin. That is not how we approach our wives. Rather, we are told to nourish and cherish them in Ephesians chapter 5. Cherish, nourish and cherish. That does not mean I put food on the table. That does not mean that. You nourish and you cherish her, her soul, her spirit, her beauty. You nourish her and you cherish her for who she is. In her heart. Do you cherish your wife? Do you cherish your wife? If you do, you probably won't be harsh with her. Or at least you won't very often. Do you nourish her? Do you want to feed her spirit? Do you want to feed her soul? Do you want to watch her just blossom? Nourish and cherish her. Never, never be harsh with her. It's right here. It's right here. It's in black and white. I'm not making this up. I'm not embellishing this. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And He sacrificially gave Himself up for her. Do not be harsh with her. If you have, repent, because it's sin. Number three, fathers, raise your children as unto the Lord in all your saying and doing, and don't provoke them. So fathers, this will not work for you. Please never say this ever again to your child. Just do what I say, not what I do. Just do as I say, not what I do. Look, just do what I say. Don't worry about what I do. Never say that again. Because this says, in everything you do, in word and in deed, do it to the Lord. Everything you say, you'd better back it up. You'd better do it as unto the Lord. Don't provoke them to anger. And that will do it. Because our children have eyes and ears. They both hear you and see you. And you will provoke them. Never say that again. Do as I say, not as I do. Matthew chapter 23, verse 2 and 3, has a very interesting little thing from Jesus. You might remember this from last week. The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. That means they are authoritative. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. Fathers, you never want to be that way. Fathers, you never want to preach, but not practice. Fathers, you never want to tell your kids how important it is that you follow Jesus, little ones, and you don't do it. They don't see it in you. They don't follow it in you. You never want to do that. You know who those guys were? They were Pharisees, hypocrites. Jesus really didn't like them. Do you want to provoke your child? Just tell them all the ways they need to be a better child. They need to be pleasing Jesus. They need to do this and you not do it, and they will look at you as a hypocrite. And it's no wonder that so many kids are leaving the church today, because they're watching parents talk one thing and do another, live quite another. Pharisaical dads. They just want to scold and reprimand and discipline, but mom, you take them to church. Mom's the one I always see reading the Bible. Mom's the one I always see praying. Dads, we're responsible for our families. If we're the head of the family, we will answer someday for the leadership we provided in the home for our family. God's not going to stand before and interrogate our wife. He will look at us and go, did you lead your family to me? Did you instruct and encourage your children in my ways? Dads, I'm just going to tell you, he's going to come to you long before he comes to her with the responsibility of your family and of your kids. And if you're not a Bible person, you better become one. And if you work long, hard hours, it isn't going to work here because I work a 40-hour a week job before I come and speak to you. I'm well aware of what a full and busy schedule looks like. I work over 40 hours a week and come here on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Lord knows some other days in between. So do not come to me with how busy you are. I don't care. You better get off your fanny and get to work and read your Bible and learn your Bible and raise your children and lead your family to Christ. There is no other. There is no plan B. I'm just going to tell you that, guys. Don't be lazy and don't be sinful. Read your Bible and lead your family. Don't be harsh with your wife. Everything you say and do, it's got to go together or you're a hypocrite. And when your kids leave, when they can't wait to get out of the house and get away from all this, because it's just so hypocritical. Jesus will come knocking on your door long before he does your wife. You need to understand your responsibility. If you want to be the head of the home, be the head of the home. Ladies, am I being clear with them? Listen, I'm going to give you a tip. I don't care. I don't care what time it is. I'm going to give you a tip. When you're training your kids, and I didn't do this perfectly, neither will you. When you're training your kids, don't just say what they need to do. Tell them why they need to do it. Explain to them why. Don't just say, well, the Bible says you're going to please God. If you don't do what I say, you're not going to please God. Pretty soon they're going to go, man, I can't wait to get away from him. I'm tired of this thing. God's that hard. Explain to them why they're doing what you've asked them to do. For instance, let me give you a couple examples. Go mow the lawn. Why? Have you ever heard that before? Why? Because I said so. No. Because God's not going to be pleased if you don't, because I'm the head of the household. That ain't going to work. So what would you do? How would you nourish in the encouragement? How would you nourish them and teach them and train them in the Lord mowing the lawn? Because Junior, I want you to mow the lawn, because in our family, it takes all of us to make this family work. All of us are important in this family. And so you have things that you can do to help our family thrive. You're important to our family. So I'm asking you, no, I'm telling you, to go mow the lawn. Please. And you just taught them the principle of the church. Because we are a family and we all have gifts and things we need to do to make this place thrive. He gave us all gifts. And when they're old enough, you can share that with them. Remember when I used to make you mow the lawn and I'd tell you how important you are to the family and we all have things we can do? It's because that's how the church functions. So go mow the lawn. Go brush your teeth. Why? Because I'm going to sick Wendy after if you don't. Go brush your teeth. Why? What are you going to say? Because I love you so much that you don't understand this, but I don't want a middle schooler with three teeth. I want you to be strong and beautiful, and you're going to be made fun of. If you don't take care of your teeth, they're going to rot out of your head. And I love you too much. You're going to get made fun of. You're going to have bad breath. But I love you, and so I'm going to make you take care of yourself because I love you. You know what Jesus taught him? The principle that your body is the temple of God. You're valuable. God made you wonderfully and beautiful. And someday you can explain that to him. You know why I made you take a shower? We had a couple sons that didn't like to take a shower. They lived in Carhartt coveralls, and it's kind of like every week or two we're like, peel them things off, go take a shower. We can't even walk in that end of the house with you. And we didn't do it well or right. But there are principles behind what we tell them that can be taught. We're teaching about God and His church. We're training them and teaching them in the nourish and admonition of the Lord. It can't be, because I told you so, and I'm the head of the house. I'm the man here. Do as I say, not what I do. That you are not going to worry. You're going to be a Pharisee, and they're going to head out the door pretty quick and tell all their friends how hypocritical and stupid their dad is. So train them. You're going to have to know the Word of God to do this. But train and teach your children in the nourishment and admonition of the Lord. Number four, this one might shock you. This one might shock you just a little bit. And this is for everybody. So we're teaching this plan of God. I'm teaching the principles of the Word of God for families. And knowing the divorce rate in the family, I'm saying we'd better brush up on this. With that said, this is the plan of God for family. You don't take it or leave it. Just say yes to God or say no. But this is His plan. If you want to follow Him, this is His plan. But this is what I'm going to say. Listen to this. Listen. You'll have some good gossip. The goal of this, the primary goal of this for the family is not longevity of the marriage. The primary goal and plan of marriage, God's plan for your marriage, for your marriage, for your marriage, for your future marriage, the primary goal is not that you stay married your whole life. That is an effect. That will be an effect if you follow the plan. Do you know what the real goal of your family is? Do you know what the real primary goal for your family is? Yes, that's right, Jackie. It's to glorify God. It's to glorify Jesus and the church. The effect will be, if both people are on board with that, the effect will be you will be married your whole life, no question. But that's not the primary goal. The primary goal is for you and your wife to model Jesus in the church. For everybody to see your marriage and see something very special and no doubt unique and to go, wow, Look at how they just work together, the whole, and they submit and they lead and they love and they sacrifice for each other, and they just, wow, what is it about that family that is just, they're filled with joy and thankfulness? That's the primary goal of your family. So let me just say this to you. I know of families. I know of husbands and wives. Jade, listen to this. This is for you. Listen to this. I know of husbands and wives. They've been married for 100 years. And they're not saved. They're not believers. How's that happen? Because they have a thing for commitment. They understand the commitment of the marriage. And so you'll see unbelievers married for a lifetime. They're not believers. But they will never glorify Christ doing it His way, submitting everything to Him, because they don't know Christ. They don't have Christ. Don't go to church. Don't read their Bible. They're not believers at all. Because the primary goal of our marriage is to glorify Christ, which they can't do. But they can be married for a lifetime. And they do. I know of couples who've been married for a long, 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 long time, and their kids would say, you know what? It's been World War III around here for the last 30 or 40 years. I never want my marriage to look like that. I'll divorce her, I'll divorce him before I ever live that long with her, if that's the type of relationship that me and my husband are going to have. There's no way I would stay married to him or her doing all that. I don't know how my mom or dad put up with it, but there's no way I'm going to do it. I know marriages like that. Been married forever. Don't know the Lord, and it's been World War II. But that's not our marriage. The primary goal of your marriage and mine is to glorify and honor and magnify Christ in the church. And if we both do that, we're going to be married for a long, long time. Long, long time. Longevity is not the goal here. Christ is. Christ and His church is. You and I can have both. Longevity and but here's the deal. I don't know how long you've been married, but you can walk out here today and not glorify Christ in your marriage. You can go down to Myers and just argue and yell and cuss at each other all the way through Myers. You didn't do what the Lord wants us to do with our marriage. You're going to need to repent. You're going to need to repent. Ask His forgiveness. Turn it around. Kind of my next point. Here's a couple words I think Mark will put up on the screen for you. Everything I'm asking you to do is by faith. And this is my final point. Everything I'm asking you to do is by faith. It's by trusting God, not trusting each other so much, not trusting your kids, not trusting. It's all, first off, it's faith and trust in God. To do this, I couldn't walk out on that street and sign up 10 people in 3 days to do this. But I can go in the church and I should be able to say, by faith and trust in Jesus Christ, will you do this? And many of us have been working at it for a while, but we haven't done it perfectly. And so this much I know, that between Jesus, between Christ and His church, there's only one party. It's party A or party B, us. There's only one that's actually done this perfectly. Guess which one? Jesus. We don't. We're not perfect at it. Jesus is perfect at being our husband. We're not perfect at being the wife, being the bride. So you are going to make mistakes. You're not perfect at it. So here are words you need to familiarize yourself with. Repent. When you and sweetie have totally blown it, you just need to repent. Call it sin. We did not glorify Christ in the church. We need to repent. We need to change this. We need to apologize to each other. Both parties, men and women. Typically in a marriage, what I find is one is much better at apologizing than the other one. Sometimes one will apologize just to get peace and get this thing over with. They'll apologize even if they don't really feel like they're wrong. Both parties need to learn to apologize. We need to forgive each other. We need to discuss this. We need to try again. And we need to pray. If you can pray together, good for you. Good for you. Pray together. Repent. It's sin. Humble yourself and apologize. Forgive each other and discuss what is going on. Discuss it. Change it. Try again. Praying together is huge. If you can't pray together, pray by yourself. But if pray together if you can. That is huge. But please try again. Please don't let things just keep going the way they are. And I go back to the beginning. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And if you don't, you don't have a map for your marriage. You're just going off of what feels good and right and is nice and hopeful and helpful. And I'm being as nice as I can. And I'm being a good mommy and a daddy as I can. And you don't have a map. If the word of Christ is not dwelling in you richly, you're not going to know how to navigate these sometimes crazy waters of raising a family, being a husband and wife with kids. It's got to dwell in you richly. I will close this message with one phrase. Women, hear me. Husbands, do not be harsh with your wives, or it's sin. You all heard me say it. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for our families. Thank you for each husband and wife here. Each single person, Lord, that someday will probably be married again. Lord, I pray for single people here right now that they will so get these foundational principles of marriage under their belt before they get married again. That they can start fresh and new with this. Build something beautiful. And still model Christ in the church. Pray for each husband and wife here, each father and mother. My first prayer is you'll put a hunger in their heart for the Word of God, that they will feel like they're starving if they go 2 days without reading your Word. Lord, may you put leanness in their soul until they hunger for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.